Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see y'all. I've chosen today as a topic from the mouths of babes. And I think if you were here last week, you realize that I was speaking about the Christ child being born and how we celebrate the physical birth at this time. And it is a time of sentiment and love and memories for all of us. Some good, some challenging, and some, quite frankly, very difficult to go through. I know that this time of year, I've lost both parents, one 7 years ago, one 7 weeks ago. And then, as I mentioned to you, this other thing that happened in the middle of the night tells me, again, as if I didn't know it, that humanity seems to put itself in our way when we think that we're walking straight and everything's perfect. There is a world that hurts, and there are people that hurt, and it's right to remember that. But we do it by affirming the truth of their being, and we do that first by the truth, affirming the truth of our being. How many of you all have ever had the experience of affirming something, of wanting something, and you feel like you get just the opposite? It happens. It happens because despite our best intentions, life sometimes has a different road for us. Not that it doesn't match our intentions, it's that it's a little circuitous way that we may not understand. It said God is wondrous and mysterious, His wonders to perform. His ways are not of our understanding. We're just asked to keep ourselves clear and open channels of the divine, of the elan vital, of that that flows through each one of us. And from the mouth of this babe that we celebrate the birth of 2,000 years ago, we know that it was probably the things that most babies say, probably needed help from the mother, of course, needed care and looking after, much like any other baby that was born. But there was something different that occurred as this child grew into adulthood. The last memory that we have in Scripture is that this child was leaving his parents and going into the temple to read and study and think. So I think this Jesus was learning about his own divinity. And from there, we have a large swath of time that we don't pick up for many years, that we really don't know what he was doing. We can speculate about it, and my feeling is that he went into the very depths of his being and realized the Christ, and realized that he was not so much the Savior of humankind, he was the exemplar, because there was so many times in Scripture when people would say, good teacher, or things that would show honor to an elevated being. And he said, why call me good? Only God is good. But he also said, I and the Father are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There was no line of demarcation in Christ Jesus between his humanity and his divinity. It seemed to be all wrapped up into the package that said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll show you a different way to live. So from the mouth of that babe, I'm sure we got the sounds that infants make, and we know that we celebrate that baby now, the birth of that baby now, and that's all wonderful at that time. But in metaphysics, we know that function and form follow closely. There's always a reason for what is being said. In other words, a city in the Bible represents consciousness. Belief in the Bible represents what we believe about ourselves. We can go on and on, and I recommend The Revealing Word by Charles Fillmore that would tell you what these terms actually mean when used in Scripture. But when I think about from the mouths of babes, I also think about that this man, Jesus Christ, grew from a babe, and he learned these things that he taught us is the same consciousness of divinity that gave him form. It was up to him to grow into his divine personhood. It was up to him to realize the Christo or the Christ within him. This wasn't something that I believe came from on high and imbued suddenly to him. It was the fact after many, many years of study and discipline and thinking and realizing his own divinity, he couldn't do anything else but share it with others. And when he did, it was the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. It was the idea that God was not a scorekeeper and was not operating out of spite, but was operating in your life to the extent that you could recognize it, to the extent that you can embody it, and to the extent that you can give that first to yourself and everyone else. This year, I'm speaking a lot about home and welcome home, because this is our spiritual home here. And we rightly look to one another as our neighbors and our friends, and we know of the consciousness we feel even right now. If Christ Jesus was to walk through the door of Unity of Burning, I've asked myself in meditation so many times, what would he say? And I think that he would congratulate us on the spirit of love that we have for one another. I also believe he would challenge us to be more than we are, because that's what he did when he came across people who were expressing less than their divinity. Not that we are, but there's always a way to come up higher. There's always another choice to make. The home that you occupy is physical here. It's a spiritual home here, but ultimately your home consists of you. Your mind, your body houses your mind. So your real home is wherever you are. Remember the book, wherever you go, there you are. Anything and any spiritual teacher that I've said before that's worth their salt will turn the attention back to you. Not in a narcissistic, egotistical way, but a way that says, this is the way for you to grow. You go inside. You live to your highest truth, and you know that the Christ Spirit is with you every step of the way. And the more you embody it, and the more that you realize it, and the more that you seek to live it out, the better life is going to be, no matter what challenges come your way, no matter what. And I'm going to go a little bit more metaphysical here. Whatever karma there may be, whatever cause and effect may have been set in motion, whatever you want to call that, I agree with Emmett Fox when he said, Christ Jesus is the Lord of all of that. So that the minute you set a new intention, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I wish I could say that with my words, but they come out of Scripture. But don't they sound wonderful? It always speaks to new life. Life abundant, new, real, as well as practical. Jesus spoke many times about what our responsibility was in our earthly experience. In other words, pay your taxes, do your job, do it joyfully, and realize that this experience you're going through mirrors your inner experience, because he also said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In your heart proceeds the issues of life. So it behooves all of us to take a look at this time, especially this time of year, as we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, that we see what's being born in us, especially as a new year looms ahead. Everybody loves to write resolutions. A blank notebook is always better than one that's been written in. I remember so many times that I took a notebook and I would do 3 or 4 pages, and then I'd think, I want a better new start. And I ripped those out as if it didn't matter. And I kept ripping pages until the book was about halfway full of paper. And I thought, you're disowning this other experience and the idea that you want to just have it start all over again, not realizing that some of these things were the fertilizer of the things that brought me where I am. And so it was necessary to take the stuff that I didn't really like so much that I was tearing out of the notebook and landscape it into my current understanding. I realized that every moment is a new moment to begin again, a new chance to begin again, a new way to set a new intention. So from the mouth of the babe that we celebrate, we hear, and it's resonant through us, as you believe, it is done unto you. And in the book of Matthew, it says in the 7th chapter, the first verse, judge not that you be not judged. It wasn't just your neighbor. I believe he was talking about you and me. You see, when you judge yourself, you go negative inside first. But when you love yourself, and you understand you can do better, then you are immune from the criticism that your ego may give you, and you've already understood your critics. There are going to be times that you're going to make mistakes. I know I've made a few recently, and I realize that the thing to do with that is to step up higher, not allow the human idea of saying, oh, I did this for, and be defensive, I did this for this reason, so forth. One of the things that I found that makes life flow so well is when you have the ability and the spiritual maturity that I hope I have to be able to hear something that doesn't sound so good and realize that's for my good. And I can turn that and I can use that and I can go higher. Our critics and the ones who are the most challenging teach us the best lessons. They teach us patience, forbearance, the fruits of the Spirit, what's mentioned in 1 Corinthians in the love chapter. We learn that love is patient, kind, tolerant. It doesn't boast. It doesn't seek its own self. It is above pettiness. It is above judgment. It's above any of the human emotions that we rightly call negative. So, from the mouth of this babe who once was, and all of you, I'd like to say the first thing that you really, really were about and could show was love. You responded to it. And as you grew up, you took that love that you felt and sometimes would turn it against yourself on the basis of what somebody said, what a parent or authority figure had an opinion of about you. The love was still pure. It was just you used it a different way. And by the time you got to be 10 or 11, you may have gotten the idea that the babe I was wasn't so innocent and not so good. And I've been told by teachers and parents and sisters and brothers that I'm this, I'm that, and I do this and I do that, and I'm wrong. And you set a life pattern, and you enter your teenage years, which are awkward enough, and you make decisions based on what you've heard in the past. And it goes on, seemingly year by year, decade by decade, and you get to be a certain age, and you think, I've messed it up so bad I can't change it. And that's probably the most blasphemous thing I've ever heard, because every moment is a chance to believe something new about you and believe the truth of your being. That's why Christmas is so important. It's not just a sentimental story about a child being born in a manger that tugs at our heartstrings properly and that we think about wise men coming from far away with very expensive gifts and the night, the stars, the virgin, the man, the father, and all those things that we say, gee, they were homeless and it was hard and it was probably cold and it was all kinds of things. It was such a challenge. That is our sentiment and it's right to feel that. But let's remember the birth of that child was the birth of truth. It was God saying through this man, Christ Jesus, or at this time, Jesus Christ, before he realized the Christ of himself, It was God saying, I'm going to show this world what I am, and I intend to do that through my son. My son, all of us are his sons and daughters. That's what Christ came to show, because he never said, I need to sit on a throne, and I need to have homage paid to me, and I need the accoutrement of a king and a crown and a scepter. He walked in dusty villages. He called 12 ragtag guys to walk with him and speak to people where they were in a very earthy and a very dynamic way. It's right to celebrate that. It's right to celebrate beyond the birth, because you and me are called to give birth to that spirit that is the Christ. And people say, well, that's kind of nebulous. What does that mean? Am I supposed to be ultimately crucified? Yes, you'll crucify everything untrue about yourself when you grow. Love will eventually overcome. The message of Christmas seems to be at odds with what I just mentioned. I'm jumping to Easter. But let's be honest. Christmas, Easter, birth, death, not to mention resurrection, all part of a spectrum that we go through as students of truth. We crucify our old ideas about ourselves when we change. We're willing to take and stake everything we've been to the cross. And we watch it, in a way, alchemize. Those things that were hurts and those pains and those angst and those ugly opinions that we had, we let them go, and it's painful. The nails hurt. The decisions sometimes hurt. Do you understand that, as bad as it may have been, is a synonym for what we have to do every day? If we don't release and we don't crucify those negative things we have, we repeat, and we pass it on to others, and toxic things happen. And codependence happens, and dysfunction happens, because it's going in a circumlocution of negativity that we don't know how to interrupt. And sometimes, the only way people know how to interrupt that is to leave this planet. Other times, it's to drug it, alcoholize it, overwork it, overeat it, all those things that we've heard about and we're sensitive to. I want each one of you to be sensitive to those who suffer. I do. I am, and I know your hearts. But I also want you to know the truth about them. The truth about the fellow with a cardboard sign at the corner of I-10 and Ralph Fair Road. The truth about him is that he is God in disguise. He is, or she is, an angel reflecting back to you your consciousness as the person sitting next to you. You see, it's almost egotistical, but not quite. Everything is your mirror. But if you do it right, you take that, instead of holding it in, you release it and you say, my brother teaches me about myself. My sister teaches me about myself. That's oneness. All of a sudden, we're not using the woo-woo words, the things that turn some people off. I hope I've just properly described oneness to you. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. I'm my brother's keeper because I am supposed to reflect the truth. And if he reflects the truth, then we have a circuit going. But if he doesn't, and he stays in a lower place, I'm still reflecting it. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. So you see, you're going to feel it anyway. You're going to feel the wonder and the joy of a changed mind anyway. And if it's not accepted, or it's not on the terms that you think it should be, or you feel like it's not accepted in a way that you saw happening, don't worry about it. You're still embodying this. And whatever cause and effect, whatever karma, whatever kismet, whatever you want to call it, that has been started in the past can be transmuted by an act of forgiveness of yourself and everyone around you. If it was just about the birth of a baby, it's sentiment and it's lovely and it's wonderful to sit and drink eggnog in front of a fireplace and hear that story. But when you go out on the street in the concrete and you're challenged and you feel like that story was sentimentally wonderful, but what does it mean right now? Remember the man, Christ Jesus, who said, if struck, turn the other cheek, resist not, and evil will flee from you. In other words, let it flow. Let your life flow. There'll be some rocks in the river sometime. They're there to teach you something about yourself. They're there for you to learn. They're there for your growth. And how do I know that's true? Because they're there. And either what we say here is true or it's not. And I'm happy to stake my life on the fact that it's true. I've seen miracles happen in my own life, and I was one tough customer. And everything I've seen up till now gives me hope for everything that is beyond now. So you see, if you're here right now, you've done it right. There may be challenges you have. There may be things you want to overcome, but you have done it right. You're here for the next leg of your journey. This next moment, this next day, this next week, and this next month. It's all about you to begin with so that it can be about others. Examples mean something. If somebody lectures to you about your deficiency and your defects and your lack of being what they want you to be, you're going to constrict, pull in, walk away, and say, I kind of agree with that. I kind of resonate to that. They're right. And there's guilt and there's no change. But if somebody looks at you and says, I can see things in you that you can't see right now, and I'm going to show you where they are. Now you've got possibilities. Now you've got something that you can work with. And you're not being made to feel guilt. You're not shamed for being alive. This world, this life is a classroom designed for your higher growth, for you to become all that you can be and eventually make yourself back to the God, take yourself back to the Godhead. For whatever reason, we decided we needed to learn this. And God said, all right, you want to do that? I'll be with you. You're going to learn. Sometimes it'll be pleasant. Sometimes you'll call it challenging. Sometimes you'll call it tragic. But I'll be with you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That was Christ Jesus' message as well. Think about the hope that that embodies. Think about the wisdom inherent in those words. And think about the comfort that's yours when you lean into that. So when somebody says, I gave my life to God, there is a peace and a joy with that. But God gives that life right back to you with presence. The presence that can take you through, walk you through, and help you through those things that are yours to deal with and that you must go through. I've been accused sometimes, Unity, Science of Mind, Metaphysics, have been accused of being self-centered. In other words, that we're so busy trying to make ourselves better, we don't have time for others. Wait a minute. To make ourselves better, isn't that going to help another person? It also means that we can give of ourselves and our treasure and our talent and our time while we're doing it, but our ultimate responsibility is to be beacons and lights unto ourselves. If you give, you give of your abundance. If you give out of your weakness, that's what you have to give somebody else. And it becomes watered down. And it becomes, in a way, polluted. But if you give of your whole self, your strength, the love that you are, you bless everybody. This year, Welcome Home, the theme that I've chosen, is about radical self-care and self-love and self-understanding. It's building our better us, and even if we think we're the best, there's still room. If we think we've overcome everything, there's still room because life is presenting itself every day. So if I honor Christmas in any meaningful way, I don't just talk about the birth of the baby. I talk about the birth of the Christ in you and what that means and what the potential of that is for you, this church, and beyond. My prayer for this year is that we become all we can be individually, that we embody those traits that we celebrate from this time of year of the Christ child, those traits that he had: forbearance, loving kindness, forgiveness, hope, joy, peace. You get the idea. Those things that you could give to yourself, even alone, that you build to go out and give to other people. To me, that's how we heal hurt. That's how we heal our lives. So I sure bless the birth of this baby. I sure love the idea that we're celebrating. You see the manger scene here. This was my mother's. And it was under our tree. And I give it as a gift to this church because I can't think of anything better to do with it. And anything, if she knew about it, that she'd want more. And when we see this, it's so sentimental and it's so lovely. But it meant something more than just that. And I hope today I've impressed upon you that while this story and this scenario is wonderful and sentimental and lovely, there is something in it that is the beginning and calls us into something higher. What that is for you is properly yours to determine. You'll know when you go inside. You'll know by the way you feel. You see, there's one thing I want to mention before I end this. Feeling is the secret. Those things that light you up right here, and it always seems to happen here, I call it that elevator feeling. It's the first time I drove a Corvette, the first time I had a puppy dog kiss me, the first time my grandmother said, "You don't have to go to school on Monday because you hurt." And I was faking it, and she probably knew it. Those things that light you up here are the things that are going to reach out and touch other people. Scientists could say, well, it's simply adrenaline and norepinephrine coursing through your veins, hitting the neurons, and all this stuff that may be true, but it kind of loses the romance, doesn't it? They can't explain why it happens for some and not others. Get lit up. Get excited about this. Love it. Honor it. Cherish it. And then love, honor, and cherish yourselves from the man who said, "It is done unto you as you believe. And if you have aught against your brother, forgive that person so that you may be forgiven and so that you can walk on in newness of life." I applaud this church for walking on in newness of life, and I applaud each one of you for your willingness to receive this. Only good can come from this, because I already know we win. The universe is rigged in our favor. Ultimately, everything is here for our growth and our upliftment and our advancement. Take it, use it, and you become strongest in your weakest place. And when you do that, you've embodied the Christ Spirit. And when you embody the Christ Spirit, you're living as you were intended to do. I give thanks for each one of you. I bless you. And I say, it is so. Amen.
Thank you.